For much of the biblical period, Israel was ruled as a monarchy, at first united, then two smaller kingdoms. The monarchical dynasty of Israel, going back to its second king, King David, served as the ultimate symbol of unity and as a focus for a belief in a future restoration. So here we actually find Judaism as part of a nation, as part of a kingdom, with its king and a symbol of an ultimate redemptive process. The biblical Israelites were instructed to refrain from intermarriage with surrounding tribes that might corrupt their faith. And this enhanced even further the ethnic character of the adherents of this Israelite faith. So already we've reached the question how to define Judaism, but it seems to be a lot more than just a faith. But let's go even further. What are the origins of the name Judaism? This too points to both an ethnic and geographical beginning to this terminology. Judaism comes from the name of the fourth son of the patriarch Jacob, who was the grandson of Abraham. His fourth son was named Judah. And this name, Judah, was ultimately the name of the kingdom that would be established originally by King David and his son Solomon. When it was divided, Judah became the name of the kingdom. And so, with the establishment of this Israelite kingdom, there is a movement, right, from the term Judah as a son to Judah as a designation of a land. And the kingdom would go by that name until its very conquest by the Babylonians in the year 586 BCE. But what is more important, even after the conquest of the land, throughout all the subsequent periods of Persian rule, Hellenistic rule, Roman rule in the land of Israel, the official designation of the territory would continue to go by a variation on the name Judah. If you were a Persian, you called it Yehud. If you were a Roman, you called it Judaea, or even Provincia Judaea. Even when the Romans conquered Palestine, they struck coins, and on the coins we find written Judaea Capta. Judea has been captured. And so what we find is that Judea is a geographical designation, and the Jews or Judeans were in the first instance then people either living in the land of that name or people whose roots were in that land, even if their ancestors had chosen to live elsewhere or had forcibly been removed from that land due to some military conquest. It's only in a later period, in the Hellenistic period, around the 2nd century BCE, that the phrase Judaism, or in Greek, Judaismos, appears for the first time the way we might use it. That is to say, as the designation of a culture or a way of life maintained by those people who live in the land of Judea. The phrase Judaism appears for the first time in a book known as the Second Book of Maccabees. It was a book written by a Jew living in a Greek-speaking environment, and it's a book that describes a clash in Palestine between the Jews of that land and the Hellenistic rulers, in particular a Syrian king who ruled over the land at that time, Antiochus IV Epiphanes. What is interesting and not well known is that same second book of Maccabees is not only the first book to use the phrase Judaism, it is also the first book anywhere to use the phrase Hellenism. And the use of the same suffix, the ism, for both systems of life and of belief may have played well for Greek reading audiences, but in fact, this was the forerunner for later tendencies to equate a cosmopolitan, multi-ethnic culture, Hellenism, with another culture which was not cosmopolitan, which was much more particularistic, and it was more centralized, with a national character. And so this is the modern equivalent of this comparison that we often do between Judaism and Christianity and Islam as the great religions. In other words, it may play well as an ism, but in fact it's a lot more than an ism. Now, notwithstanding the national and ethnic components of Judaism, clearly religion, as expressed through a system of beliefs and practices, was a critical component of Jewish self-perception. Over the centuries, various attempts at defining the essence of that religion have been made. Some attempts designated portions of the Bible as representing the essence of what would emerge as Judaism. For instance, one common belief is Judaism can be summarized in the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments that were given by God to Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, these commandments, as noted in later rabbinic literature, comprise the dual foci of the Jewish religion. The first five of them deal primarily with relations between man and God, the requirement to believe in one God, to worship no other deities, to refrain from using God's name in vain. Interestingly, the fifth commandment is to honor one's parents, and the rabbis say, yes, but God is involved there as well. It's part of your commitment to God to honor your parents. The other five commandments are clearly those regulations that relate to human interaction, the prohibition of murder, adultery, stealing, and so on. And very often Jewish synagogues will actually place the Ten Commandments on the ark at the head of the synagogue, the ark in which the Torah scrolls themselves are deposited. So we would think that there is some major stress on the Ten Commandments, but quite frankly, already in the first centuries of the Common Era, we find rabbinic figures opposed to the special role of the Ten Commandments in synagogue liturgy. They claim that this would tend to render all the rest of the Bible a secondary status, possibly even supporting certain antinomian tendencies, that is to say, a tendency to downplay the importance of actually keeping the ritual practices, among certain circles who would stress only the ethical components of Judaism, the Ten Commandments.